Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Paul Dottino with you. And, wow, you blink an eye. We're just 2 days away from the Giants' next football game. Can you believe it? Thursday night football on the road, traveling to Washington against the Redskins. And, Paul, these games are always very difficult for teams traveling on Thursdays on the road. Their record this year has been poor. Their record historically, maybe even a little bit worse. So, certainly something the Giants are getting ready for, and that's something Tom Coughlin talked about in his conference call yesterday, getting ready for this unique type of environment.
Three jog-throughs this week, John, for the Giants. Today will be the heaviest of the jog-throughs, but, you know, when you're talking about a football team that goes through the course of a regular season on a regimented schedule, and then you throw off the body clocks of these guys who have all kinds of bumps and bruises and all kinds of sprains and everything else that they go through, and then say, guess what, fellas, we're going to accelerate you right in the middle of your comfort zone, it becomes a real issue. And that's why Tom doesn't want any contact at all.
And as always, we're taking your calls on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 201-939-4513 and on hashtag Giants Chat. We'll monitor Twitter throughout the show to get your comments. If you still want to look back, by the way, to that win against the Texans, we can do that. But I think most people are kind of putting their eyes forward here to the Washington Redskins. And, you know, Paul, this is a situation where the Giants are going to have to score some points in this game because it's the best offense they've seen since week one against Detroit. The Giants' defense could play extremely well and still give up 21, 24 points in this contest. So the offense is going to have to come to play against a defense that has had some issues, not just this year, but the last couple years under Jim Haslett.
I don't think there's any doubt, John. And quite frankly, if the offense is going to score enough points to win the game, they'll need some help with field position. If that comes via turnovers, you know, the Giants had three picks the other day, their first three defensive turnovers of the season. That would certainly help out a whole lot. And to be honest, special teams, too, which has not exactly been great around here to start the season.
Helped last week.
Block punt. But they also don't get much on return yardage, and they gave up a fourth and one conversion on a fake punt. Or, well, I don't know if it was a one yard or not, John, but a fourth down fake
punt. Fourth and three.
Was it three?
Yeah, I think it was three.
And you know, that helped tilt the field for the Texans,
yep,
too.
That's true.
So you're right. The block punt was a good thing, but for the most part, I think you would say that the Giants haven't gotten the benefit of as much field position as they'd like. And so I think that was a fourth and one.
You're right.
It was, right?
Yes.
So I think that field position, because of what you said of the Giants needing to score more, is going to be really important.
And here's an even trickier thing. We talked about how the Giants have to score in this game. The Redskins, though they've struggled on defense generally, have a very good front seven. They got guys up there that can play. You know the names. Kerrigan, Brian Arakpo, Jason Hatcher. Barry Cofield's out. He's not playing. But certainly there are players here, Paul, that know how to stop the run.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You look at that Redskins team, maybe the only thing that makes them a little less dangerous, that injury list, which we're looking forward to today,
yep.
John. We don't know about Hatcher. Apparently he's got a foot thing. I was talking to Bob Papa yesterday. He got word that he doesn't think Hatcher's going to play.
Oh, wow, that'd be a big loss for them, especially since they already lost Cofield.
And we don't know.
Right.
But that was kind of what he was thinking yesterday. We know D'Angelo Hall ripped his Achilles.
Yep.
So their starting left corner is out.
And their safeties are still terrible. They cut their guy they wanted to be their starting safety after week two. That's how bad he was playing.
Yeah. And
Rambo.
And Indigno, I think, is that how he says it?
I'd have to look it up.
Indigno, he wound up getting hurt the other day. He's not going to play, and he was their starting strong safety last week. So their secondary is absolutely porous. There's no question, but Johnson's right about the front seven. Their front seven is usually stout. Again, their two DTs, though, look like they're going to be out of the lineup. This is a game, John, where if you're the Giants, again, you play clean football. Do what you need to do, and don't give them extra opportunities. You certainly have a reason to think you can win the game.
I think this could be another big play formula game, Paul, because we know Jim Haslett. And one of the things that when I talked to people that covered the Redskins last year, what they told me is that when Shanahan was there, he actually put the handcuffs on Haslett a little bit. He made him adjust his game plans to not put his offense in peril. So Shanahan micromanaged that defense a little bit. When they went to Jay Gruden in the offseason, they didn't go away from Jim Haslett. In fact, They gave him full control of that defense. So now he can do whatever he wants, which means you're probably going to see even more pressure from the Redskins, more blitzes, more zero coverage. So this Giant offense should have the opportunity to make some big plays, especially in a secondary that is now missing their best corner in D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, they have 10 sacks so far, yeah. John, through the three games. And we know the two edge guys are definitely impressive.
And Arakpo has had Will Beatty's number for a couple years now.
Okay, and Kerrigan used to give Kareem McKenzie fits when he first came into the league.
He's a good player.
He is. So they got the two good edge guys. The only thing I would say is that because of that very suspect secondary, which is now even worse.
Maybe they're not going to blitz as much.
Maybe.
It's Jim Haslett, though.
He wants to.
He likes to throw caution to the wind, my friend.
You know, his blood is telling him to send.
Yes.
He may want to rethink that, given that he's so thin in the secondary. But John's right. That's what he does. That's what Haslett's always done. If that's the case, that really helps Eli. Eli usually carves up the blitz. As long as he gets even a semblance of protection from the guys up front, he usually handles the blitz real well.
Well, and we saw what Nick Foles and the Eagles did to that Redskins defense last week. They moved the ball up and down the field extremely well, but they could have run the football. So if there was ever a test ball to see if this Giants passing attack can get their house in order and make something happen against a poor pass defense, this is it. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it this week against the Washington Redskins because they are vulnerable back there. So I think this is a huge show-me game for this Giants passing attack. Can we carry over what we saw in Week 2, which was mostly good except for the turnovers, and Week 3, which was mostly good, period, against the Redskins, a team that really, Eli should have one of those 365, 370-yard games this week.
That much?
I think he could.
He could. He could. I think that Tom would rather him be in the area of 290 to 300.
Depends how well you run the ball and how. Frankly, here's the thing too. It also depends on how well your defense plays. I know that seems out of line. That doesn't make any sense, but it does.
It does.
If your defense can slow down this Redskin offense, hold them to 17 or 20 points. All of a sudden, you don't have to pass the ball.
That's
a lot.
Exactly.
But if the Redskins get up 17, seven, say, end of the second quarter, guess what? You're going to have to air the ball out a little bit. So all this stuff is connected. I think if there's one game this year, spare maybe the Jacksonville game and the Tennessee games later in the season, where you think Eli can have a big game through the air, it's against Washington, it's against Dallas. In fact, all these NFC East division games, Paul, should be very high scoring this year. Let's be honest. They should be.
I understand. I'm not going to dispute that for sure. I will say he's already cheating to try to get hints on what we're going to do for Fact and Fiction and Over-Under on Thursday, right?
A lot of big numbers, my
That's
friend.
That's what he's doing right here. Just let you know that, okay? If you listen to the show during the course of a game day, you know what he's doing because he makes the questions. I think that you don't want to get into a track meet with the Redskins.
No, you don't.
And that's why, if Eli's throwing it for 360 or 370, Foles threw for 325 and three touchdowns the other day, and the Eagles escaped by three. I think they'd rather bring it down a little bit and get the game a little bit lower into the 20s as opposed to into the 30s. That would mean to me you got to control the clock a little better and run the ball a little more. That's why I don't think Eli's going to throw for 360 or 370, but I could see him throwing for about 300. But Tom, I think, is going to want to control the clock. It sounds crazy to say this, John. When's the last time you started talking about wanting to control the ball against the Redskins? It's been a long time.
It has been, and I'll get to your calls in just a second. I got a couple of people on hold at 201-939-4513. Very quickly in the offense, want to clear up a couple injury issues. Right now, the Redskins' offensive line actually is playing fairly well. They're doing a pretty good job. Yeah. They're protecting Kirk Cousins, so they're strong. When 2 years ago that was a huge weakness for their team, it's becoming a strength. Alfred Morris did leave the game last week with a knee injury. He practiced in full yesterday, so he seems to be okay. Bad news for the Giants. DeSean Jackson, let's see. The doctor said he shouldn't have played on Sunday against the Eagles, but it was a former team, so he insisted on doing it. I said shoulder, no?
Did you? I didn't think you did.
I thought I did. My bad. But they're not sure if he's going to go on Thursday on that quick turnaround. So that's something to keep an eye on during the week as well. That could impact the game. And their tight end is still out, Jordan Reed. But now Paul's done a very good job the last 2 weeks in his absence. So I'm not sure that's too much of a downgrade.
You know, we talked about it last night on the MSG show with Roman, and the numbers on Cousins the other day, 30 of 48 for 427 yards, three touchdowns and a pick.
But he puts it in danger, Paul.
He does. He will throw long. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the arm strength to do it. But the real number that just stuck out like a sore thumb to me, John, is that in 48 dropbacks, there was not one hit on the quarterback.
Zero hits.
Zero.
Well, now, granted, the Eagles don't have the best pass rush in the league, but that's still
zero?
A pretty striking number.
48?
You figure someone would have blown an assignment at some point, right?
Right? That's a ton of dropbacks for the quarterback not to be
touched.
I didn't
notice it. That's crazy.
That's
really good.
That's a real, real good number if you're the Washington Redskins. You're like, wow, we could just like have them throw all day and not get them hurt.
The Giants have rushed the passer pretty well for a couple straight weeks, so
let's see.
Be tested again against a very good offensive line. 201-939-4513. Let's get to the calls. We'll start with Stas all the way out in Washington on the West Coast. Stas, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you guys today?
Doing well, Stas. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, hey, some quick points. One, I just got to make mention to this guy because I feel bad. The minute I found out he was playing strong side, I started kicking the wall. But he played a great game, really solid.
But
I
want
to give a big hats off to Mark Herzlick. Yes, he played a good, solid game yesterday. I mean, on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, when I read that, I was screaming to the football guys why. I was like, why are we putting him on defense to start? I didn't get it. I mean, I love him for special teams, and I think he's a class act. I read his book. He's a great guy. I'm not talking bad about him. I just didn't – and every time you see him in the middle line when they put him at Mike, and it was just horrible. He played a really good game, and I just wanted to be the first one to eat my humble pie and say I was wrong.
All right, Stas, point number
good
two.
For him. Point number two don't forget, we're going to be the first team to go into this Washington game who actually has a full game tape on Cousins now. There's a little bit of an advantage that we're going into.
Stas, remember, he did play full games last year. Granted, it was a different offense. Now, that is the first full game
of
game tape
offense
in Jay Gruden's system. So, in that case, you're right.
But everyone has seen his repertoire of skills.
Correct.
You know what his skill set is.
But not in that
particular offense. He can make every throw out there. I'm not taking anything away from him. But what I'm saying is we're going to be able to at least see what are his habits for the first time. That's something Sunday seen and the Sunday before did not get to see that. We're going to get to see what are his habits in this offense, and that can help us be a little more dynamic. I think the Giants pull this game off by 3 points, no more. I think it's going to be – I agree with John.
There you go.
It's going to be a high-scoring game. And last point that I just want to tell you real quick, I just think, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, outside of, like, the BBK, like, beat writers and reporters, it just seems how everybody last week were saying how the Texans were going to just rout the Giants, and now everyone's saying, oh, well, they should have won. Like, if it wasn't a big deal, like, they don't want to give this O-line their prop. I mean, that's the
Arian Foster was scratched a few hours before kickoff, and that made a difference. Now, I'm not going to tell you the Giants would not have won the game anyway, but you have to take that into account.
Yeah, Stas, and I'll say this, too.
I do.
Well, real quick, and I'll let you finish up. But the Houston Texans beat two bad teams to start the year 2-0. The Raiders are not a good football team, all right? They beat Oakland. And who was that team that they beat again? I'm trying to remember.
Washington.
The second team. And Washington.
Believe it or not, opening day.
But that was a Robert Griffin III quarterback, which is a very different situation. Now, the Giants did do things extremely well. Protecting the quarterback is one. They did a great job on J.J. Watt. But again, Houston's whole offense is based upon their running game. They lost their starting running back. And we saw, frankly, how bad Ryan Fitzpatrick can be when you ask him to do too much.
And against Buffalo.
And just think about it. They didn't even score a lot of points offensively against the Raiders and the Redskins because they didn't have to. So when you put the pressure on Fitzpatrick to make plays, that's what happens. And frankly, he might be the worst starting quarterback in the league. I mean, that's not going on.
He's on the bottom shelf.
He's bottom five. So, Stas, I think that's why people are hesitant giving the Giants too much credit beating Ryan Fitzpatrick at home. I mean, that's something you have to do.
It was a real good matchup for them, and we talked about it. It was a must win, and indeed, the Giants got what they got. I might just add one thing about Herzlick before you go. I do want to say this. When Herzlick is playing in the middle, he's got to worry about the entire sideline-to-sideline spectrum.
Great point.
That's not his game. Okay, Mark Herzlick doesn't have the range or the foot speed to really be effective sideline to sideline. But if you now throw him on one-third of the field and say, okay, Mark,
even a
this
half.
Is what you got, you know, now you're reducing his range or at least his responsibilities. And on top of that, you're talking about a team in the Texans that runs the ball right between the tackles, right into the teeth of Mark Herzlick's face mask.
And you're also asking him not asking him to cover any tight ends. So they certainly
quick,
play to his
good
strength.
Good matchup
stops.
For him.
Yes, no question.
I just want to flip the coin real quick for you guys.
Yeah.
I agree with that Aaron Foster thing. I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's going to go down as one of the best. But bottom line, if he was in this game, he would have been on the sideline. The Giants' O-line kept the offense on the field. Eli Manning kept the offense on the field, along with Rashad Jennings and the the wide receiver corps. They dominated time of possession.
Well, they were 34 minutes. I think it was about 34 minutes time of possession for the Giants. And that was not only the fact that Eli was throwing the ball well, and there were zero drops by the Giants.
32-34.
Okay. But Jennings was phenomenal. And, you know, Roman and I talked about this, too, on the show yesterday.
And Stas, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Numbers, not just 176 yards rushing on 34 carries, but, John, he did not even have a 20-yarder in there.
No. It was all very – he had one 18-yarder, and that was it. There was a lot
bang,
of eights,
bang,
a lot of nines,
bang.
A lot of sevens, a lot of sixes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of very good runs.
And that's
yep.
really effective. That's how you want to make it.
201-939-4513. Dre is in New York. Dre, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Good afternoon.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing well, Dre. What's on your mind today, pal?
Oh, it'll be real quick. Hey, let me tell you something. I really believe it was the Cardinals game that really set this Giants offense together, and it just followed through with Houston. But I'm going to tell you, I really don't see 34-year carries by Rashard Jennings against the Redskins. Maybe a healthy dose of Andre Williams mixed in there, but on a short turnaround, I don't see 34 carries.
No, you make a good point. I agree, Dre.
But I do see an issue at safety after benching Stevie Brown. You know, the only thing we have is the rookie, Berhe, the missile. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Dre, you know what? Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, the thing about Berhe, I think he has talent. I think he's a smart kid. Here's the issue. Even coming out of school, from a smaller school, Berhe's strength was stopping the run and going downhill near the line of scrimmage. He's not a guy that has a ton of speed to cover deep and cover that type of sideline-to-sideline center field thing you ask a deep safety to do. So I think if they use him the proper way, you keep Ontrell roll deep, you put Berhe near the line of scrimmage, I think it's something that can work, but Quinton Demps isn't exactly a sideline-to-sideline guy either. So you really then pigeonholing roll into being that deep guy in the middle of the field.
And that takes away a little bit from his run support because he does like to come up and stuff.
And his ability to do what he did last week, anticipating those intermediate passes and trying to get some of those picks.
You know, there's no question that, you know, if you go to the rookie, and I don't know if Tom Coughlin's going to do that or not. He didn't say that yesterday.
No, he did not.
He just said he made the change the other day. Stevie Brown had gotten burned on the 44-yard touchdown post pattern over the top. And he wouldn't go into it any further. So we really don't know if he's going to do that or if Stevie Brown will get another chance and bounce back. He's got a lot of pride, hopefully for his sake. If he is in there, he can get himself together. I think that the one thing that you want to be concerned about, besides what John just mentioned, is that, you know, the Giants secondary is more of a man-to-man pressure bump and run when they want to be.
Though they've played, I was about to say, they've played a lot of zone.
They played too much zone for my liking in the first couple of weeks, to be perfectly frank with you.
And frankly, Paul, against two top wide receivers like they're facing this weekend, frankly, Andre Roberts is a three, is also
good.
A pretty darn good wide
pretty
receiver.
Good. I agree.
You might see more zone this week. It's tough to man up three very good wide receivers across the field.
It is, but see, what I wonder is if maybe because of that situation, you want to get a tougher play off the line. In other words, don't give those guys the release. If you play in more zone, you're giving those guys more of a free release off the line. Now that gives them a better chance to get up their speed, get up their acceleration, and now work against your zone.
Right.
If you play them tighter on the line, now John's right about that's always dangerous because now if your guy gets beat and off of pressure, now you got a problem because he's behind you.
And they're spread out with three or four wideouts.
It can be very dangerous. Yeah. It can be very risky. But the flip side of that, the benefit to that is, if you don't give them a release off the line, now they've got a much difficult more time trying to find the holes in the zone quick enough for Cousins to get rid of the ball.
And you foul up the timing.
You know what? Every time you make a move like this as a coordinator, there's a positive, there's a negative, there's a risk, and there's a reward.
Everyone, I'm happy you said that because so many people that, you know, send in tweets and call in. They think there's like a magic wand where if you have one scheme, well, if you do that scheme, it always works.
No.
That's not the case. There's always a plus or minus to these things. And frankly, you mentioned that you get a free release on zone coverage. Some zone coverages don't get a free release. If you play a cover two, those corners are supposed to hold up those wide receivers at the line of scrimmage
in
before
theory.
The safeties get there. In theory.
It doesn't seem to work.
Well, unfortunately, we've seen from time to time the secondary, I'm not sure, executes the zone defense as well as they should, which is just as big of a problem as putting a zone defense in.
These guys, I think Prince and DRC are actually better suited to man and pressure.
So is Jaquan Williams, by the way, who's very important in coverage in the middle of the field.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, they've been playing a little more zone than I think either you or I would like these first few weeks, and that's because we think that they're better in the other style of D.
By the way, here's some props, by the way, I want to give out. How about the job Tremaine McBride did in that game?
Stepping in for
Walter Thurmond.
Quality corner. This guy can play.
But he went to the slot for the first time as a Giant
right.
and did a good job.
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you something about McBride. What I like about him is even if he does make a bad play, because we saw him play for Corey Webster most of the season last year.
And he did well.
He doesn't fall apart.
No.
You know, I've seen defensive backs who they get shaken, and then somebody goes back and back and back, and before you know it, they've given up five or six completions over the course of the game. That doesn't happen to Tremaine McBride. When he does make a mistake, when he does get beat, he's back on the horse, and he makes the play the next time. He's got what they call short memories.
Well, remember, this is a guy, Paul, that was out of the league. This guy's been fighting for his football life for years, so when you have to deal with that, dealing with one bad play is nothing.
Yeah, well, the Bears, you know, the Bears had him for several years, and apparently they didn't think he was physical enough, and that's why they wound up putting him on the street.
Well, remember, too, you need to be a big physical corner to play the way the Bears wanted to play defense, to play that cover, too, and he is a smaller guy.
He is.
But I think for his size, and frankly, it's probably because he came from the Bears system where they teach you to be physical, he probably plays a little bit bigger than his size actually
is. I agree with that, and the Giants are happy to have him.
Oh, thrilled. 201-939-4513. Hitesh in New Jersey. What's going on, Hitesh?
Hey, Paul, this is Hitesh. What's going on, man?
Hi, good to see
you. Good, good. Hey, I'm bringing my son down to the D.C. game, and you've got to guarantee me a victory this time, okay?
Oh, really?
Wow. Paul, are you going to guarantee him a win?
I'm not guaranteeing anything this morning.
I'll guarantee you one thing. Paul Dottino will be there, and he's going to be excited. How about that?
And I will be on the field. I guarantee you that because in Washington, there's no room in the box, John.
That's true. I'm sitting right in the front desk. I'll see you. The quick question, Corey Washington, I think he's going to have a great game this way. You know, I like him like Hakeem Nicks. He just runs, jumps up and gets the ball and snags it wherever it is. I think he's going to be someone to look out for. What do you think?
John, you know, we've talked about this too. It's a very popular topic since Washington was so good in the preseason.
He's like, this year's Adewale Ojomo.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. He's still raw. Let's not forget, he came out of Division II Newbury.
He's very, very raw. This isn't Division I AA.
No.
This is Division II.
No, this is not Wagner or Robin Morris. This is Newbury.
I had someone with a straight face compare his skill set to me on Twitter to Randy Moss.
Really?
I swear. You
know, really?
I'm not making it up. And you know what? It's one of our good listeners, too. Actually, is pretty knowledgeable, but I think a lot of fans have, you know, jumped the gun a little bit or jumped the shark if you like that better with, you know, pulling your Happy Days references. I know you're a big fan of the Fox.
Yeah, right? Hey!
There you go.
I think Roman said yesterday, and remember, he's got a lot of ties to the Chargers. I think he said Malcolm Floyd was a pretty good comparison.
Okay.
And maybe he'll be that good. But right now, you know, outside of a limited package, it's asking a lot for him to become part of the regular rotation.
I mean, for example, here's an example, Hitesh. Larry Donnell. Raw player out of Grambling.
Yeah.
And that's a Division I school, okay? And it took him a full year here, and before that, more time in the NFL to learn what it means to play here. And frankly, he's still making mistakes. As good as Larry Donnell has been with all these catches, I think, what is he, second in the NFL in tight end catches? He's also been in the middle of two turnovers. He was in the middle of an interception in Week 1, and he fumbled inside the 5 in Week 3. So these guys that don't come from big schools, it takes them a while to get used to playing football. Remember, Preston Parker made a couple big catches last week, so let's not sleep on the job that he did.
And add that Preston Parker, if I may, is tough, physical, aggressive. This is a guy who truly was building tiki huts a year ago and is so appreciative of this chance.
He
puts out a lot of effort. And Preston Parker, please go back and look at the tape, was very helpful in the run game. Preston Parker blocks downfield.
He's a tough guy.
He blocks downfield. And if Rashad Jennings or Andre Williams are going to get some chunks, Preston Parker's probably going to be tying somebody up in the secondary.
Hitesh, what else you got for us?
That's it. I think Preston Parker's good. He's a very tough player. He hustles a lot.
Got guts.
Appreciate the call, Hitesh.
Thank you, Paul.
And I want to go back to something that Dre said two callers ago because we didn't comment on it. I forgot.
Okay.
I agree with him. I think we're going to see a lot more of Andre Williams on Thursday because they asked Rashad Jennings off of 34 carries to come back for 3.5 days later. That's rough, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to see Andre Williams for a good 12 to 15 carries this week. I know a lot of people have been calling for Peyton Hillis because they're disappointed in Williams' production. I don't think his lack of production is as much Andre Williams' fault as it is low number of reps, low number of sample size, not getting into a rhythm. And also, they just haven't been huge holes when he's gotten the ball. In week two, he got hit in the backfield 3 or 4 times.
I agree with absolutely everything on that point, John. And Andre Williams, to me, is more of a rhythm running back, to expand on what you said, than most guys are.
I mean,
he truly is.
He carried the 35 times a game.
I mean,
he's a horse.
He had over 300 touches and over 2,100 yards at BC last year. He is definitely one of those guys who accumulates and accumulates and accumulates, and then, wow, you know what? Then he'll break one later on. So I think for him to come in cold like a pinch hitter, you know, Lou Piniella for the Yankees, I'm going to get a little old with some of you folks. I know some of you guys are real young, but Lou Piniella for the Yankees.
The manager.
No, the player.
He played?
Okay, John.
I'm just messing with you now.
He kills me, this guy. Oh, man. All these young folks, I tell you, you whippersnappers that
you
are.
And by the way, I'm going to the Yankee game tonight to see Jeter for the last time.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Anyway, point I was going to try to make is that
until I rudely interrupted
well,
you.
Lou Piniella used to come off the bench stone cold, and he was a scientist with the bat, and you'd swear
scientist.
He had 4 at-bats.
Scientist with the bat.
Yeah, you'd swear he had 4 at-bats already by the time he came in to pinch hit in the 8th inning, and he would stroke that single up the middle. The point is, that is a very, very hard thing to do when you're a professional football player, you're a backup running back, and they say that you're 1A, but if you're going to get one carry a quarter, you're not going to get 5, 6, 7 yards on those carries, John. Chances are, you know, you're going to wind up getting stuffed because you just don't have everything going. I just think this. Rashad Jennings has never played a full 16-game season healthy in the National Football League, ever.
Especially not with this type of workload.
That's the point. That's the point. You can't, if you're the Giants, put him in harm's way by giving him 26 carries on Thursday against the Redskins.
You can't even give him 22 carries, 25 carries a game.
You might be able to give him 17 or 18 this week.
That's perfect.
But, John, I'm not going any more than that.
I wouldn't either.
Because this is a guy who, unfortunately, and I don't understand how, because if you look at him, he's cut out of stone.
And by the way, he has like a 45-minute stretching regimen he does before every practice. He takes care of himself.
He is a fitness freak.
Yes.
I don't know how. But he has missed at least one game every year of his NFL career.
Oh, it's being a running back. It's like he's a running back. You get a helmet on the knee, helmet on the ankle, it happens.
So I think they do want to keep that in mind. And I wouldn't be shocked if Peyton Hill has got 5 or 6 carries and Williams got 10 or 12.
Sure.
And, you know, mix him into the whole deal.
By the way, Peyton Hill has had to play special teams for really the first time in his career this year.
Nice tackle the other day, too, on specials.
He has the size and the speed for it, no question. 201-939-4513. Elijah is out in Indiana. What's going on, Elijah?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, B?
Hey, I have a couple questions for you guys.
Yeah, rip 'em.
That's okay. Well, with our secondary, I've seen that I wasn't able to watch the game last week because I'm in Indiana. We just don't get any Giants games.
wait, Elijah, wait. You're telling me there wasn't a national audience for Giants and Texans? No?
No. I had to watch a blowout. I listened to the Giants radio. But with the secondary, I've seen that Zach Bowman? I think that he was injured, and that's kind of bad news, thinking that, you know, our secondary is kind of thin now. So say if someone was to get hurt, like Tremaine McBride or, you know, DRC, what would happen? Would Antrell come into the slot, or what would happen in that situation?
Well, luckily, Bowman's not a slot guy, Eli. So,
right.
You know, McBride would stay in the slot, and they'd figure out whoever their fourth corner is. I'll take a look at the numbers and try to figure that one out. But sorry, I just made Paul laugh on Twitter.
Yeah,
but,
prepping for the show. Nice.
I think that, and you know what? I think Bowen might still go on Thursday. He's the tough guy. He probably was just given yesterday off as a rest day, would be my bet. And we've seen Bowman fight these injuries before and then come out on the field and play. So we'll see. But, yeah, the Giants are going to have to worry about that fourth cornerback spot if Bowman can't go. And that's depth. All of a sudden, if Prince or DRC, you know, Prince had got the elbow injury the other night. He seems to be okay from it after he got it wrapped. He seems to be all right. And or McBride gets dinged. Who's going to be your fourth guy if Bowman can't go?
I got another one for you. Bowman's their best gunner.
That's a great point, too.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, he's been down there, first guy down there a lot of times. We know that, Ginn slipped out of his grasp in the Cardinals game, but, you know, Bowman made some nice special teams plays the other day.
He did.
And so, okay, who is the Giants' next best gunner to Bowman? McBride? Maybe. You know, I said this during preseason. Charles James was probably their next best gunner.
He was a good gunner.
And they cut him. So he's not here anymore. So you got to find somebody. And that could be an issue if Bowman has injury trouble.
And you know, I would not be surprised if the Giants add a corner to this team at some point this week with the tryout or something like that. They have excess offensive linemen on this roster. If Bowman's hurt, they might have to add an extra corner, Paul. Or they pull up one of their corners off of the practice squad. Chandler Fenner's a guy that they liked in the offseason and a guy they could pull up from the practice squad.
Yeah.
But right now, they aren't deep there.
Burre played, the rookie safety played a little gunner, and he had some reps at it.
Well, I'm talking corner.
And I know, but Nat had some preseason reps. They may stick him out there if they don't add somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hopefully that does not happen because I want, you know, Zach Bowman to play. Well, not play, but be a backup.
It's important. He's a good player. They're glad to have him.
Yes, but all right. With my next question, I'll make it quick. I'm upset. Well, my goal was to have, you know, us win this game and the Cowboys and the Eagles to lose so, you know, we can tie up. But of course that didn't happen. So I want to know you guys' predictions on this Sunday. Who will win the game between, you know, the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints?
Well, here's, you know, well, real quick, Eli, in that game, you know, the Saints have had the Cowboys' number for years. I mean, the Cowboys' defense has gotten lit up by the Saints time and time again. But something looks a little off with the Saints this year. They don't look right. I'm not sure if that's Drew Brees doesn't have the weapons he used to have or whatever's going on over there. But the Saints don't look right. And their defense, frankly, has looked downright awful early in the year from time to time. So I think that's going to be a shootout. I think there's going to be a lot of points. But the Saints are at home, and it's never smart money to bet against the Saints on their home field.
Yeah, Brees is a killer in that dome.
The one game I'm scared about, to be honest, is the San Francisco game and the Eagles game because Kaepernick has looked bad all season to me, I think, besides the first game against Dallas. But I'm scared about that game. So hopefully the Eagles lose and, you know, and we tie up and the Eagles are one game above us. But, you know, so that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Eli.
One thing about the Eagles, John, they're 3-0 and have overcome a double-digit deficit in each of their three wins.
And,
look.
Don't you get the sense that they can just flip the switch on an offense? All right, well, we need points now. All right, go.
It kind of looks like it right now.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
Because
the first half, they might be conservative. They might play slow. And then all of a sudden, Chip Kelly says, all right, let's take some shots down the field. And it works.
I thought they were clearly the best team in the division going into the season.
Yeah.
And I thought that the two things that could potentially sidetrack them, I'm not really a big fan of their defense on the whole.
I agree.
And I'm thinking, Foles, two picks last year? Come on. You know, let's just see the real Nick Foles. Let's see if Cinderella turns into a pumpkin.
Well, and he's not that, but he's been pretty good still.
He's been pretty good.
Here's the bigger problem, though. Their offensive line right now is a damn mess.
It is.
Kelsey, sports hernia out 6 to 8 weeks. Evan Mathis missed a game last week. Another one of their starting offensive linemen is out. They have a lot of issues in that line right now. Did you see LeSean McCoy's stat line?
It wasn't
19 carries, 22 yards?
Yeah.
But when's the last time that happened to him?
But they did protect Foles enough to have him throw 325 and three touchdowns.
Well, Chip Kelly gets rid of that ball quick. When you got tight ends like Zach Ertz and running backs like Darren Sproles, you can get rid of the ball quick.
Exactly. So, hey, John, I'm just saying right now, you better not worry about the rest of the teams in the division.
Yeah,
worry about your own team.
Worry about yourself, exactly. A couple updates on practice, thanks to Art Stapleton,
who's
sending out a couple of tweets. John Beeson participating in positional drills during media access. Good sign for him for Thursday night.
Ooh.
And also, how about this little nugget? Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is practicing, ran a full-speed route in team drills.
I wonder if that was one route or more than one route.
Well, they usually work these guys back slowly. So, again, I would not expect him to play on Thursday, folks. Don't get too excited about that.
No, I don't either.
And I don't want to pat myself in the back, but I'm going to do that anyway. Remember, when this whole thing started, at the start of the year, what game did I tell you will be the perfect game for him to get back for?
I thought you actually said he might go till after the bye.
Well, I said he might not be able to contribute at wide receiver until after the bye.
Right.
But he would be back on the field for the Falcons game, and I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Okay. Look. Here's the bottom line, folks. Tom Coughlin is always queasy about playing rookies, and he's always, always had a thing about, you better make sure you show me in practice, or you don't get on the field.
And rightfully so. This kid hasn't had one full practice since being in the NFL.
I don't understand. And again, if something out of this world happens and he winds up dressing Thursday, which I'm thinking is a zillion-to-one shot. Let's make that clear, John. We both think that's a zillion-to-one shot. But here's the thing, okay? He hasn't had a full practice yet. He's so far behind in the playbook. To me, his best chance of getting on the field is to be a punt returner.
Yeah, no question.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then hopefully, again, by the bye, you'll work him in as a wide receiver.
And give him five plays at most. I mean, really, you can't expect much from this guy right
now. Limited package. By the way, Tom Rock, this is an addendum to what Art Stapleton put out. Tom Rock of Newsday, and somewhat contradicting what Art said. Beckham did not do anything that involved a defender. So I don't know how you can be in team drills and not involve a defender. So Paul and I aren't out there. We don't have Paul's eagle eyes on practice. And I'm sorry you haven't had some kind of seizure in here, not being out on the practice field.
I know.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
I'm
getting through it, John.
Don't make it one of the trainers in there for
you? I'm getting through it.
Some smelling salts, maybe?
The way I like to phrase that, if I were out there, if what Tom Rock is saying is true, what I like to do is that means he went against air.
Right.
Okay, so he ran some routes against air. According to
Tom Rock. And that's to protect the hamstring, obviously.
And quite frankly,
that's a smart thing.
Guess what? If you're running against the air, you're not playing Thursday.
Well, and guess what? If you're not going to play on Thursday anyway, why would you risk running them against defenders to re-injure the hamstring until you can actually use them? So, smart way the Giants are handling this, are doing exactly what they should. 201-939-4513. Charlie in Portland, Maine, chuckles.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
How are you, Charlie?
I'm good. Hey, I just want to say it was a good win. We should have had 40 points, but I'll take 30. And but one win season does not make.
Of course.
We really need to dominate our division. That's where we're going to get into the playoffs or not. This is a great game for us. We're getting Washington, I think, at a great time. They had a tough game against Philly, and they lost a lot of good players, and you know, a lot of their players are injured or whatever. This is a good time for us. We should go in there and kick their butt, you know. And if we can run the ball the way we did against Texas, against Philly, we should beat Philly because they won't be able to get out their offense on the field as much.
Charlie, don't get ahead of yourself.
Run the ball.
Charlie, hold on. You got a Redskins game on Thursday. This is a tough game.
And the Redskins have a great run defense, Charlie. We said it before. The Redskins, if there's one thing they can do on defense, and they don't do a whole lot well on defense, they can't stop the run.
You know, and they got two ends who can get after the quarterback. And guess what? They can throw the ball downfield and make big plays. This is a tougher game than the Texans, okay? I know the Texans beat them week one when RG3 was there. But this is not an easy game. I do. All right, I'm going to say it. I do expect the Giants to win the game. I would pick them if I had to pick right now.
I can't believe it.
Right.
I would. But, but this is not an easy game at all.
No.
And,
not at
and
all.
Can you get the 2-2 before you start talking about the rest of the division?
Hey, I'm just saying we have to dominate our division, and that's what we need to do. It's great.
The Giants are not good enough to dominate anybody.
Well, finish up, Charlie. What else you got for us?
All right. And the other thing is, Jesus, I wonder why we're so, weak at safety now.
Oh, the Will Hill thing.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Charlie just did the jab and ran. That was like the bam, back off. Bam, back off.
Why are we even talking about a guy who is so unreliable that you did not know week to week if you were going to have him on your roster?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that?
I understand the frustration, Paul.
And you know how big a fan I was.
Look, no one loved Wilhelm more than Paul Dottino, and he loved him before it was fashionable to love Wilhelm, too. No question about it. But look, folks, here's the bottom line of Wilhelm. We've touched on this before. I just want to touch on it again very quickly, and I want to finish up the show with all calls wrestling. We'll try to knock out as many guys as we can.
Okay.
But Will Hill is a guy now who probably will not get suspended as much as he did before because the threshold for the marijuana has been raised. So it's going to be tougher to test positive. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to test positive. But what Paul said was right. He's someone that's unreliable. If you tell somebody not to do something and it's your final chance and he goes and does it anyway, what does that tell you about that individual? It tells you you can't trust him.
That's it.
It's that simple.
That's it. Tom Coughlin laid down the law. He broke it, not just once,
and not just
but
Tom
multiple
Coughlin,
times.
The organization. This
yes.
is Jerry Reese, John Mara, from
yes.
top to bottom.
Yes, yes. I feel bad. I feel bad that Will Hill could not get himself on the straight and narrow.
Because he's really a nice kid, too.
He's a good guy. At heart, he's a good guy. I think I know him well enough that he's a good guy. And I know he could have been a terrific player for this team for
a
long time.
He once shared some, like, Stromboli with Will Hill or something like that?
No, man, I'm just telling you. He had all the tools, John.
I know.
From the second he stepped on the field at rookie minicamp, you could see he should have been everything that Kenny Phillips did not turn out to be
because
of
the
knee
injury. Yeah. No, I agree 100%, Paul. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones. And Rocky in Florida, you're up next, pal. What's up, Rock?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Rock?
Hey, just following up about the safety thing. That's, I know they kind of benched Brown in that last game, but right now is when I would really like to see Cooper Taylor get on the field. He was looking so good in preseason, but we'll just have to go with the miss.
Well, Rock, unfortunately, as you know, Cooper Taylor's an IR, so we're not going to see him until next year.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This would have been his shot to get in there and do something.
Oh, right. I got
he
you.
Can't get on the field. But,
I got you.
No, I just wanted to touch on two things. One about the linebackers I thought Pasinger would start there at Salmon. Didn't Herzlick get the nod, they said?
Yeah, Rock, what they did, they started Herzlick and they played him in a lot of the first and second down run situations. Then when it was going to be a pass situation, and especially more in the second half, you saw more Pasinger. So they tried to use both guys to their strengths as much as possible. And I think, frankly, you'll probably see, depending if Beeson plays this week, both those guys again. If Beeson goes, though, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of Herzlick. You might see Pasinger a little bit in some sub to try to cover on third and long. But if Beeson and McClain are healthy, I wouldn't expect to see Herzlick out there much.
And if I could add, if Morris doesn't look sharp, if he's not himself, and we don't know for sure, again, coming off a knee thing, if he doesn't look sharp and the Skins don't establish a strong running game, they may wind up going with the tight end slot and three wides and all that other stuff and spread it out, and then Demps will probably be the nickel linebacker.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you'll see him play dime, and then neither Pasinger or Herzlick will be on the field.
Okay, good. Well, I was just hoping Herzlick could find something he did well besides special teams. If it's being a backup at Sam over there, I would be okay with it. But
final point, Rob, what else you got?
And two, about the running back touches, I don't know if Coughlin was reliving the Tiki Barber days, but it seemed like he was running Jennings into the ground there.
Well, Rock, it kept working. When you have something that works, you want to keep going right back to
ride
it.
Ride that horse, baby.
I know. But Rock, it was working.
After about 25 carries, though, I thought that it was about time to do something else. But how could they get them holes open that much for Jennings and Andre Williams still not do nothing, Joe? You know, I've been wanting to see Hillis on the field, and they just take off. I mean, is he in the doghouse or what?
No, I don't think he's in the doghouse. I think they just really like Andre Williams, and they want to give him as many opportunities as possible to get going. And it's such a small sample size, Rocket. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. It's hard. We talked about earlier in the show, it's hard for a guy like Williams, who is used to getting 25 to 30 touches a game in college, and that's not an exaggeration, to get going, getting 3-4 carries a half. It's tough.
Yeah, it is. Is there anything on the Twitter practice reports, John, that we were unable to see about Kennard at all? Nothing. And the reason I bring that up is because if Morris does get that running game going.
I forgot about Kennard. That's
they
really,
really could use Kennard and that's his sore point. Hamstring. He missed the game the other day, you know, against the Texans.
Didn't sound optimistic the way Coach talked
about it. Didn't seem like it, but if he's available, Don't be shocked, you know, if you see Williams with McLean and Kennard out there, if it turns out that they've just got to start shutting down Morris because he's got that ground game going.
And, by the way, Bowman was participating with Beeson. Kennard was running on the side, and there was no sign of Weatherford. So that's where we stand with that. So yeah. Without Kennard going today, and remember, this is just a jog through, too, folks. So people say Beckham was running full speed. Yeah.
Jog through.
Yeah. It's called a jog through for a reason, all right? Let me put it that way. So Bowman, yes. Beeson, yes. Again, this is according to published reports. Kennard, no. And Beeson, Brewer, Brown, Weatherford, limited. Oh, Brewer and Brown are practicing, Paul. That'll help us a lot on Thursday.
Next question.
201-939-4513. Lawrence is out in California. Lawrence, thanks for calling in, pal.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was calling about the status of Eric Herman and with regard to the new NFL drug policy. I guess he was deactivated for four games. Is that been shortened or lengthened, and what's his status?
He was eligible to come back to the roster last Friday at 4 o'clock. The Giants cut him. He went through waivers, and at this point he's a free agent.
So he could be brought back at some point if the Giants so choose.
Yeah, to the practice squad if they wanted to also. I mean, he's eligible.
Yeah, because it was interesting about your comment about these kids from small schools. And it seems like Eric Herman fits that. You know, he's from a small school, small program. And, you know, I watched his workouts in the combine, and he seems to be a mountain of a guy who could really move. And I'm a little disappointed in his lack of progress here with the Giants.
I think the coaching staff and the front office feel the same way. When they drafted him out of Ohio U, what they saw was a guy who was a real blue-collar worker, a Richie Seibert kind of guy.
And he has been that type of guy.
Real scrapper. Mm-hmm. You know, real scrapper, a lot of high energy, loves to just punish people. The problem is making the jump to the NFL, John, the playbook seemed to be a real mountain for him to climb.
Yeah, a tall one, too, that he had struggles climbing.
Yeah.
Quick Twitter question I'm going to get to here, Paul. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. Quick question on Twitter here. Stephen D.C. usually calls in. He's been having trouble getting through. Makes a quick question, and Lawrence, we'll get back to you in a second. With Beeson not playing, they don't want him coming back to his 100%. He wants to know when Schwartz gets back, if these offensive linemen are all still healthy and playing the way they are, what do you do with Jeff Schwartz? And my response to him was, well, who knows? Maybe another offensive lineman goes down by then. But if this group's healthy, I don't think you can switch it up if they're playing well.
No, if they continue on the current pace or the current upward swing that they're on, and Coach Coughlin has said, and he's right, they've actually improved a little bit every week. You can't shake that apple cart up. But, again, we're assuming a lot. I mean, that's another almost month away.
Linemen go down all the time. Lawrence, finish up, man. Sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead.
Yeah, one other thing about the offensive line. It seems that Pugh and Jerry on the right side have really got some great chemistry going on over there. And this kid Walton, who plays center, I like him because, you know, he's an enforcer. He goes down the field and he stops the wise guys from smacking around your skill people at the end of plays.
Well, let me say this. Walton didn't play well to me the first couple weeks this year. He struggled after playing. I thought he played well in the preseason. I know we had our Pro Football Focus guys on. They didn't rank him that highly in the preseason. I thought he did pretty well. But the first two games, I didn't think he played very well. But he was better yesterday. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress for him to remember. He was good 2 years without playing a football game here. So I think you'll see him get better as the year goes along. He has the tools. And the best thing about Walton, you mentioned his toughness, and I think he is a blue-collar guy. He's smart. He reads blitzes well. He reads protections well. Him and Eli have a great chemistry working together on those things. So that's what I think really makes Walton the type of player that the Giants hope he will be.
And he's tough, John. He may be at times physically overmatched, but he's a tough guy.
Yep.
Yeah, just one more thing about Kennard, because I've seen him play here in Southern California.
Yeah.
This guy was a steal, and he can play.
Well, I think the Giants agree. Lawrence, thanks for the call, pal.
Okay.
Take it easy,
Bye.
Man. Yeah, and look, the Giants think they have something in Devon Kennard. I mean, he's not going to be a fast linebacker to cover down the field. That's fine. But I think what we're seeing in college, having all those different defensive coordinators, moving him around, probably hurt him a little bit.
At the very least, I believe they think they've got a two-down linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, if he's more than that, it's a bonus.
Fifth rounder, right? Kennard?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, you know, that would be great. And maybe his instincts and his football acumen, because he really seems to know the game, John. Very sharp guy. This is not one of those guys who has to be coached up in the playbook. He seems to know what he's doing. If he can use that to his advantage and overcome the quarter of a step slow that he is, which is why I also think that he wasn't drafted higher, maybe a quarter of a step slow, instincts can overcome a lot of that. I mean, look at guys like Chase Blackburn, who became a starter in this league and made a big play in the Super Bowl. You can overcome that with instincts and effort.
201-939-4513. We'll try to squeeze in a couple more calls before we say goodbye. Dallas is in Odessa, Texas. Dallas, what's going on? I think you're living in the wrong town, pal.
But I'm going for the right team. That's all that matters.
There you go, Dallas. How about that? Good comeback. I like it.
Happy Tuesday to y'all. Finally happy to get a victory. We look really good. Can I ask you, I might have answered this question earlier. Is Odell Beckham going to practice this week?
Well, you know what? He did some individuals today, Dallas. He was out on the field. No team stuff. Again, this is according to published reports from, like, Art Stapleton and Tom Rock, some of the Giants beat guys. We weren't out there to see it ourselves. So it looks like he's inching closer. I think there's a shot you see him out there against the Falcons in a week and a half, maybe doing some special teams work.
And I have a real solution for this. Go ahead.
He won't be out there this Thursday?
No, he will not be.
Okay. And I just had one quick question. I mean, I hate to bring it up on a winning note, but I've heard y'all mention several times that we have a lack of talent on this team. You know, that's why we lost the two wins and, you know, some of the fumbles and turnovers and everything. Since we have the lack of talent on that team, and that usually falls upon the GM, if we don't make the playoffs this year, do you feel Jerry Reese will lose his job?
Well, here's the thing. I think when you say there's a lack of talent, Dallas, there's guys that have physical ability. Like Reuben Randle has tools. He has to put it together. Odell Beckham has tools. He has to get on the field and put it together. And if those two guys put it together, you have playmakers to win games. And right. I think when I talked about the offense struggling because Eli didn't have any help, I was talking about his lack of playmakers. So you have guys that were high draft picks on this team that have to put it together. You know, Beckham with the health. Reuben Randle, you know, just living up to his potential. Gerald Jernigan was another guy who was a third-round pick. Now he's out for the year. Big shock, Gerald Jernigan's hurt. We haven't, you know, written that story before. So, and defense, I never, and nobody ever doubted the talent on this roster. And I think you're seeing things come together in terms of continuity on the offensive line. So, look, if these wide receivers all don't pan out, is it going to be a problem? Yeah, it's going to be a problem. But there certainly is an opportunity so for these younger guys to put things together. And I think any anticipation of anybody losing their jobs after week three, it's probably a little too soon to talk about stuff like that.
How about way too soon?
Yeah.
And I would add one other thing to what John said. One other thing, seriously, when a guy doesn't pan out on your club, there are a litany of reasons why that could happen.
Injuries being one.
And only one of them is the front office made a bad pick.
Right.
That certainly is one of them, and the most obvious one. Injuries is the second most obvious one. Another one is the player's maturity. The fact that he never fully grew into being a professional. That can also be
heart,
a reason.
Smarts. There's a million different reasons.
I mean, so, you know, you got to be careful to differentiate and try to decipher when a guy doesn't work out. Why didn't he work out? It's too easy to just say the front office busted the pick.
Yeah, and I understand. I mean, I'm trying to give the offense as much patience as possible, you know, because I know what we only have Eli Manning and Victor Cruz on the offense from that 2011 Super Bowl team. So I know it's a whole new overhaul, and it's going to take some time to demonstrate. But it's just, you know, we're coming on, you know, up to the fourth year, and, you know, it's starting to get a little impatient again. So that's the only thing. You know?
Thank you, Dallas.
Before he called, John, the thing that I wanted to interrupt and say is I got an idea for us at this Big Blue Kickoff Live production studio. We have a stationary camera that looks at us from an angle in the studio here. I'm suggesting we get one of these stationary cameras and throw them outside to the practice field so that we can watch practice on our monitor during the course of the show, and this way we have a better idea as to if Odell Beckham is actually running, jogging, or just doing exercises on the side.
Now, I'm assuming you're willing to fund this increase in our production operations, correct?
Well, actually, that wouldn't be the problem. I'm more scared about Coach Coughlin running me down in the parking lot.
Which might happen anyway.
Whatever.
You deserve it.
I suppose there are times when I do.
I was thinking maybe we could put like some like You know, remember in the movie Major League, like every time they won a game to get to the playoffs, they would rip the piece of the dress off of the female owner that they all hated?
Oh, yeah.
I want to do something like that. And every time Beckham does more in practice, you can put up like another Beckham body part on the board. Oh. And then when he finally gets activated, we'll have the full Beckham behind us. How about something like that?
That would be interesting.
201-939.
Will we ever get there?
4-5-1-3. It's a big floating Beckham, like, left arm.
Hey, you know what? We're joking about it.
Of course.
He's a good kid.
Oh,
he's
no,
trying
he's
hard.
Trying hard.
And I will say this.
You have to be able to laugh about stuff, Paul. Come
You're
on.
Right. No, and I will say this.
Otherwise, you're going to cry.
What I will say, the game tape from LSU is electrifying.
Ah, he's a playmaker.
He is electrifying.
Hey, look.
You talk about guys who have skill sets. He's got skill set. Anyway.
He has the speed and explosive ability to be a game-changing type of player. No doubt about it. Do you see what Brandon Cooks is doing for the Saints down there in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Guess what? Beckham has that type of ability.
Yeah.
He does. 201-939-4513. Final call of the program. Let's say hello to Brandon in Philadelphia. Brandon, you're up next on Giants.com, and I'm sure you're dealing with a lot of cocky Philadelphia Eagle fans down there sitting pretty at 3-0.
Oh, man, it's terrible down here. Every week it's Super Bowl, we're going to the Super Bowl, and I'm watching the first half of the games, and I'm cheering on the edge of my seat, and then they just let me down.
Yeah, and that's the thing. For a guy like you, Brandon, who wants nothing more to see the Eagles lose, you've been given some hope here. You've gotten some leads. You've gotten some struggles in the first half. Even the Jaguars are beating them 17-0. Everything just keeps falling apart for you.
Well, look, if you really want to be a wise guy, ask them the last time they've been blinded by all the jewelry they have.
Yeah, that's true, but yeah. But I did have a chance to get down to the game this week, and I feel like the crowd was really rocking, and we really answered Antrell Rolls' challenge, and it was awesome down there today, or the other day.
Yeah, Brandon, frankly, the team answered their own challenge. The team's got to give the fans something to cheer about. Look, we live in New York, all right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in Philadelphia. If you don't play well, you're not going to get cheered. These aren't the St. Louis Cardinals here, okay? People aren't going to show up and cheer if you're playing like garbage. And Coach Coughlin said that last week. It's our job to give the fans something to cheer about. And for the first time in three games, the Giants gave the fans something to cheer about.
Yeah, it was rocking. And I feel like we're getting better every week. Like, our offense, it's starting to not seem so far out that Eli's having 70% completions. Like, you take away the drops last week and he's right there. This week he was 75%, and we're really starting to believe in him.
Well, you know, I'll say this, okay? If the Giants receivers and running backs, of course, and tight ends are all involved in this, if they can play clean football and just hold on to most of the throws that Eli makes, and by that when I say one or two drops a game,
for any team.
Yeah, you don't even want that, to be honest. You want to be able to go, let's say, three games without a drop, and then the next one, if you have one or two, it's like, okay. Because over the course of a season, when you have games, I chart these things, and you start seeing in the box five drops, six drops,
I want you to, you know what? Here's
four
what
drops.
Need.
That's bad. You never want to see that.
You
and
know,
they had five in the first game and four in the second game, John.
Do you know what else we saw? And I don't know why I didn't bring this up earlier. Finally, run after the catch.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been, besides maybe one Rashad Jennings running catch in the first week, there's been goose egg run after the catch the first 2 weeks of this year. And finally, Victor Cruz does what Victor Cruz is supposed to do and has a couple of big run after the catch plays. It's really saved the Giants bacon.
And by the way, even though Preston Parker only caught three passes for, you know, modest yardage, he's strong.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy, if he catches a 7-yard slant, he's going to wind up turning that into an 11-yard gain, and if it was 3rd and 9, that's a first down.
Now, let me ask you something. Are your charts top secret, or are you allowed to bring them in and just very briefly flash them on camera?
I could maybe flash, but that's about all they get.
That's a rundown. That's not your charts.
No, well, this is a rundown. But
yeah.
No, my charts are close to the vest.
So I can't convince you one day to bring your charts and show people what your charts look like. I think people need to see the yellow legal pad.
I don't have the pad from the game the other day. I was going to say, I already took that out and put that in my office.
Oh.
That's already. Well, that's like Fort Knox.
Okay, so the yellow legal pad, after you do the final game,
you know what it is now?
That gets put into the Fort Knox and it doesn't come out.
Well, those pages get ripped off and they go to Fort Knox.
But those all get filed away.
Oh, yeah.
How far back do your yellow legal pads from Game Notes?
I had
go?
To clean out. I only have like 3 years now, four years behind me, because I had to clean out a lot of the old stuff.
What's
but
the,
what I did do was.
What's the rest in a safe deposit box somewhere?
I kept all my final season charts, though. That
okay.
go back like years and years and years
oh,
and years.
Oh, and the final season charts compile everything on
those,
the individual
those
game
stay.
Stuff.
Okay. Those stay. But the game-by-game legal pad stuff, after 4 or 5 years, you just got, you got to toss them. You can't keep them forever.
How much 8mm stuff do you have in the house?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what. I graduated, John, because the yellow legal pads were cumbersome. Mm. Now I'm into the spiral steno pad notebooks.
Oh, okay.
I've been able to, like, reduce my writing and stuff down that I'm using those instead.
So now next thing we got to get you is a tablet.
No. Don't trust computers. Don't trust computers. Old school.
Because, God forbid, it crashes, you lose your data, and then
yes.
all of a sudden the Paul Dottino archival project
oh,
is at an end.
Oh, you do not want to see me lose my data. Have you any idea how many hours and hours have been put into that data?
I do. You don't sleep. You have to fill the hours somehow.
It's a problem.
All right, final thought, yes. Giants-Redskins. Give it to me.
Final thought is I do believe that the Giants being much healthier than the Redskins right now and Tom Coughlin being very strategic and smart and going with jog-throughs to maintain that health, I think that gives them a better-than-sporting chance of going down to Washington and doing what they have to do.
If the Giants were playing at home in this game, even playing on Sunday, I'd feel a lot better about it.
I agree with you.
The road team on a Thursday is tough.
It is tough.
And game planning for this defense, which can be very complicated with a lot of their looks, can be tough in just a couple of days. I think it's going to be a toss-up game, to be honest with you. I think this can go either way. And
tough
frankly,
game.
Whichever quarterback makes fewer mistakes, because I think both quarterbacks will air it out in this game. You'll see a lot of passes get thrown. Whichever one throws fewer interceptions, I think that team wins the game.
Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. How many times do we hear Coach say it?
Giants plus against the Texans, they win. Minus the other two games, they lose.
Mm-hmm.
You can break it down that simple if you want. All right, everybody. Tomorrow, Lance Menno and Roman Omen will be with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live at noon. Paul and I will be heading to Washington, D.C. On Thursday, it'll be Lance and it'll be Anita and Jeff Feagles on Thursday afternoon. And then Lance and I will be back on Friday on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And, of course, Thursday night, you can check out Paul Dottino, myself, Lance Menno, and Jeff Feagles on the Coors Light Giants Game Day Radio pregame show. Coverage begins, I believe, at 6:50 on WCBS News Radio 880. Make sure you check it out. Then Lance Menno and Leonard Marshall on the postgame show after the game, taking your calls for 2 hours on WCBS News Radio 880. In fact, that game will also be joined in progress on WFAN once Derek Jeter's final home game in Yankee Stadium wraps up on Thursday night. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. See you later.